Hi, I'm your host Keshav Chauhan and this is Milliseconds, an attempt at personifying all of the things we see but don't think about. Chasing stories, one coffee at a time, Yashika Doshi is a writer currently doing her master's in economics from University of Nottingham. The host of Confessions from a Poet's Heart, a podcast on her love for poetry and indulgence in different worlds of stories. She's a fan of quaint cafes and coffee. This conversation follows a similar narrative and explores the interesting ways in which economics intersects with love, poetry, and life. Hi, Ashika. Thanks a lot for joining me for this. So before we like dive deep, can you give us a quick intro about yourself and where you're staying right now?
Yes. Hi. Good morning and good evening to whoever's listening to this. Yeah. And thank you for having me here. It's been an absolute pleasure talking and thinking about this. And yeah, it's a great opportunity. So currently I'm living in this small city of UK called Nottingham. And originally I am from Mumbai, India.
Okay. What's the best part about like Nottingham?
Oh, the peace, the quiet. Like, you know, after the hustle bustle of Mumbai, it's like, you know, you can hear your own thoughts here. So that's been interesting.
What's the one place which you would recommend everyone to visit, especially during this online thing, to like get a quiet space in Nottingham?
In Nottingham, oh, my most favorite place in Nottingham, like till now, of course, okay, because it's just been like half a year that I've been here, is Highfields Park. They have these wonderful places to walk. There's a lake. There are these tiny little ducks in the lake and they're swimming around and it's quiet. It's a beautiful park. Also, very fun. And quick fact, I don't know if you've seen the show Ted Lasso.
I have seen the cover art. I think it's on Apple, Apple TV. There was an interesting take on that show. If I remember, I think it was showing Apple products a lot in that show from a designer's perspective. It was a really interesting take. I've not seen the show though.
Oh, so I'm actually like sitting on a bench there during like my breaks. I've finished like an entire season of like Ted Lasso there. And it was so coincidental because the show is based in UK. It's about like an American high school coach coming to UK to like manage a team. Yeah. And I was sitting in UK and watching it and I was just like, wow, okay, like look at the coincidence.
So why were you watching a show outside? Like, just a curious
thought. In between classes. I forgot to carry a book with me, so.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah. One of those things.
Yes. Yeah. I think I'd forgotten to carry a book. I finished the book, like only a chapter was left. But yeah, something on that line.
So what are some similarities that you've noticed between Mumbai and Nottingham? Anything?
Mumbai and Nottingham. People are extremely helpful in both these places. See, Mumbai's lifeline and bloodline works on like people, like you know how helpful they are, how welcoming they are to outsiders. And by outsiders I don't just mean like, you know, like foreigners, like even people coming from like within the country, so like inter and intra. So yeah, and it's the same I've discovered about Nottingham, like the nurturing feel that people make you feel welcome. They will never make you feel that you're not at home, and that's exactly what Mumbai is too. So it's just a very safe feeling.
So. That's really nice. Okay, so let's start this conversation with your Instagram bio, which is Chasing Stories, One Coffee at a Time. What was the thought behind this? It's really interesting, man.
It's actually the bio that that line wasn't exactly like created for my bio, like I didn't think of it. So someone asked me once, and I read it like on an Instagram, like a friend had put it up on their poll, on their story, I'm sorry, that if you would ever write an autobiography about your life, what would you name it as? And I'm like, okay, I don't know. Then I was thinking about it. Then I'm like, okay, two things I really, really like, you know, writing. And by writing, I literally mean sometimes chasing words to come to me. So like, just running behind them. I'm like, coffee, like, I think my blood, like, prick me and coffee will come out. So,
Like a hypothetical question on coffee. I'm actually a big fan of coffee myself.
Ah, lovely.
I have explored a lot of different types of coffee.
What's your favorite?
Cappuccino. I have a very what do I say, cliched answer, but I like cappuccino.
That's fine, since you said you've actually tried a lot of things.
Coming back to the one that's cliched. So my question is that, do you think that coffee sales might hit an all-time low if people stop dating? From an economical perspective,
No, from an economical perspective, this is not a ceteris paribus world where only the variable you're asking is considered into question and nothing else is there. Dating doesn't always mean that you're talking over coffee. Hey, I prefer hot chocolate too sometimes. But not an all-time low, but I would say that if we are talking about it in like a very naive business cycle sort of a view, a dip in the curve and then back to what we like to call an economic steady state again.
Okay, what's that steady state? Can you like explain more on that?
Steady state is just like things as they were, right? Like whatever is right now, like just coming back to original. So what you said that
it will drop and then come back to original after.
To its original, yes. Because it's just like a shock in the system, right?
Well, people have stopped dating, right? So why will it come back to the original point?
Oh, completely stopped dating.
Okay. Wait, it's a hypothetical question. In the parallel universe.
And what are people doing? Tell me that. They're still meeting their friends, right? So it'll come back to steady state. They are still picking up coffee before classes, right? They are still drinking coffee to be able to write properly like me, right? Just like put your head in a proper space. Waking up and drinking coffee. So
that's true. But there are other beverages also, right? And coffee has been associated with dating for a long, long time. Why not tea? Why not some other drinks?
That's a very interesting question. I've always wondered that. I've tried to write about it. Actually, not dating, not the association with like dating or like, you know, hanging out with someone you love and like, you know, over a nice warm cup of coffee, because it's just such a comfort feeling, right? I mean, it's like a hug in a sentence. But I've written something about the association of coffee and reading as well. You know, the characteristics of that. So actually, to come to think of it, that was one of my very first posts that I wrote as a literary columnist with the Remnant Archive. So that was like, why this symbolic gesture? Just like you're asking this, we thought of a parallel. But what do you think? Why is it just coffee? Why not tea or hot chocolate?
That's interesting for me as well. I think something might have happened back in the old days that people started picking a coffee over other beverages. Also, coffee has that rush. One thing which I like reminded of just right now is that I think people are, both of the people who are meeting each other are very nervous. On their first dates. That nervousness can be overshadowed by a cup of coffee. That could be true. just
an interesting It can part. Also, I mean, this is just something off the top of my head, and I'm not sure that I'm the perfect person to talk about the history and the mechanics of it, but it can also be the fact that coffee has always been considered as an exotic product. Because see, right from the beginning of time, it's like tea has been a very Asian concept, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, I may be wrong, but and coffee has been more like a Western Hemisphere concept.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think of it now, here we are talking about only in the Indian aspect. At least I am only talking about like in India, where we see that coffee as that symbolic thing of dating that you said over a date. So can be that chai to ghar pe bhi peete hai hum roz. So coffee is like
could be I think for people then if you think along that lines, I think for people living in Western countries, tea should have been given more importance over coffee.
So that is exactly what I'm saying. Like, I am only talking about the Indian perspective. I would not like to comment about, because other see, country, here also it's coffee only. What I'm seeing over here, being literally in the in this hemisphere across seven seas. So idhar bhi it's that only. But here we have something very much more exotic called the chai latte. So I have no clue what that means, but... Yeah.
please don't mix the two up. That's the that's the worst thing someone can do. So look, I have an interesting I have an interesting question, like on economics and the intersection with love. Do you know, economists like view the world as some sort of mathematical model, the variables become even more interesting when the subject which we're trying to study is love. And the question is that, what do you think could be the true value of love, firstly? And secondly, do you think that love can be like put into an abstract model, some sort of abstract model by economists? What's your take on it?
One, I would just like to correct you, maybe like not like let you be in that misguided conception that any variable can be abstract.
Okay.
See, even if you are studying something called like education and health, we always have something called proxy variables in the model, like dummy variables, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And these variables can be like, okay, if I want to measure education, I will look at a specific number. Like, even though education is a very broad concept and a very, like, you know, it's an intangible, like, thing at the point of talking, we will look at it like, okay, how many girls out of 10 have graduated, have at least completed like a 2+3, you know, like how many boys out of this class are into commerce or engineering or a field of arts, like, you know, an artist. So when we put love into the equation, we have to see what we are measuring it against. Are we talking about successful marriages? Are we talking about you know, after how many years of dating do people want marriage a commitment? How many people would prefer live-in over you know, over making the government, putting the government equation into your marriage, like signing on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Of course, it can be calculated. I'm not saying it cannot. But being me and like my writer and economist and like poet side all like coming into the circle.
Yeah. Three circles coming together. Yeah.
So that common space allows me to think on that line. To actually make it tangible, something that you can count, something that which you can code, like on your R or your Stata or your MATLAB.
So you mean to say that there should be a defined metric for measuring this?
Measuring anything. Here we are talking about love.
Okay. What do you think could be a metric while measuring for love?
I don't know. How many days have you been happy out of 365?
Oh. Damn, that was so spot on.
No, just kidding. Of course, this is See, if it was that simple, wouldn't yeah. have all our great Nobel economists done something about it already? Yeah. And I'm sure there is some beautiful literature out there, and I would love to dig it up myself and read it.
Yeah.
These can be a this few, is. Like what I said before. So.
Yeah, that was really, really great answer for sure. Like while writing poetry and like speaking at events, like do you like tend to write things from a more economical sound perspective, or like you just go with the flow?
Go with the flow, always. So this okay. is something that I have always like drawn a boundary, and economics, I do not let my knowledge there like touch my passion here, because yeah. right from the beginning, poetry and writing have been things that I want to come home to.
Yeah.
So they say, right, don't bring your work back home. So
I've actually have a very different thought than this. Like I prefer to mix passion with work. Like both of them should be the same yes. thing, not yeah. two different yeah. things which have common right. ground. So
yeah, like, so it's always been like these two camps have always been there existing since yeah. like centuries to come. But then I believe that this thought process that both of us have and where we differ is also like the difference of fields, the difference of like the nature mm-hmm. of our work, we that as individuals, our personalities. So
like what I meant by economically sound was that like for example, you come across a word and now your economical thinking is saying that this might get more likes, more engagements, and no. so it's yeah. okay
yeah. then that's a more definite no okay. Never think of that.
Okay.
Never. And likes, I know this is a very cliched and like overspoken about topic.
Yeah.
It doesn't define you, your likes.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But I would not even undermine it. It actually boosts my morale on low days when I see that, oh, this is a piece I wasn't very confident about. But when I put it out there, these beautiful supporters that I've created through my page, they think okay. that sometimes my words value is more than what even I am giving to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually such a beautiful feeling. So I would not say underestimate it, just but give it the importance that it deserves. Don't let yeah. it define you. So yeah,
don't make it exclusive like coffee, treat it like tea or some
hey, I love coffee more.
No problem. You know, so you mentioned about lows, so I like introduced me to an interesting tangent. So people have this named this term creativity block, which yes. writers and people working in any creative professions face. Do you think it's something which is real, or it's something which people have created because to find an escape to their problems? What's your take on this?
I think it's a very natural thing, but then okay. I would like to create a natural difference in this in my answer with two camps. One, the camp that one is your camp, what you said, like, for okay. example, art, being passionate about your art, you have been successfully able to create that into a lucrative career.
Okay.
So one is that camp, and one is like the camp I was talking about, where you like to keep your art away from like a career, which has got to do nothing with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, so when we talk about this, the former one that I was talking about, I think it can create harm for you, having a creative okay. block. So it is natural. Everything, both these camps, whatever they face, it is natural. I do not think it is a man-made concept to escape procrastination or laziness. Okay. Definitely, I do not think that. But in terms of harming you, that's your career. You cannot, you have to find good measures and measures that have worked for you in the past to get over it. But then we people who have that line, like the later camp,
yeah,
it's easier for us.
Yeah, that's
it's okay
true.
it's okay. We will, it's not like it's not a comfortable space, but then sometimes you just have to say it's okay. Like, you know, your art will come back to you when it itself is ready, not just you. So.
That's true. So what my take on this is that I think there are two kinds of people in this world. One who feel that creativity is something which is inborn, and other who think that creativity can be learned or acquired through rigorous amount of training and practice. And the people who believe that it's inborn are the ones who use this term more often than the people who think that it can be acquired.
Okay.
Because, that's my take on this. So,
That's interesting too. It's just, you know, again, like how you view your art, right? And what perspective and what do you use your art for? There are many people, and I mean, people I know, they're so talented. But they wouldn't want to share it with the world. It's something they use art as a means to escape, but just for themselves, like just to like let go and, you know, like put their thoughts on a piece of paper or dance it out, whichever art of form of art they pursue. And then there are people who kind of, you know, like to like, okay, selective people. I'll show it to my friends, I'll show it to my family. Yeah. And then there are like, you know, let's just not say content creator, let's just say artists who put themselves like completely out there. So I think it just depends on what kind of a person you are, rather what kind of an artist you are.
So talking about art, like what do you think your target audience is while writing about poetry?
Target audience. If I would have started thinking, and if I still think about my target audience, I so wish I would have like 20k, 30k followers. I've never thought about that. I mean, I started recognizing my target audience from the feedback and the comments I was getting. So it has been the other way around process for me. Not the conventional way that I am writing for someone. I started learning what kind of people like my work from the work I was putting out there. And rather, I still am. So,
Nick, have you seen an economist like read about him or her who also was interested in poetry just like you are?
Oh, no. Oh, that's actually quite unfortunate. No. No, I haven't actually. I'm sure like, you know, a lot of them have like fields of art that they love or are passionate about, but I myself have not
come across it. You know, because you're combining two very, very different fields or skills, but I find that very interesting.
Combining them?
No, not combining, like pursuing.
Yes. Pursuing, yes. That's perfectly put. Yes, yes.
Yeah, which is very interesting. Like, I also tend to, like, think about some days, like, can we find a way to, like, combine, for example, let's say, artificial intelligence and fragrances. So, which is something you're also doing in a different way. Not combining, but pursuing, So... which is very interesting.
It's not to answer that question, combining things, I mean, it's never a no until you've proven it, right? So until you work on it and you prove it, how can you actually say whether the answer is a yes or a no? So why not try it?
Yeah, for sure. So look, the last question which I had, in retrospect, if given an opportunity, what choices would you remake and with which people?
Do all choices have to like have to be associated with people?
No. Oh, anything. Okay.
Choices. I've always regretted not pursuing my passion to learn French.
Okay.
So in my school, in 2 years of school, and then 3 years of college, I have been fortunate enough to study this language, to be, you know, introduced to it. But then, you know, due to like other work commitments, study commitments, I just left it. And, you know, I have always had that tiny bit of regret that if I would have continued to pursue it, you know, I would have been able to have a better grip on that language.
What do you think?
I'm a language enthusiast. Sorry.
Yeah. What do you think sparked that interest of French?
Oh, it actually came as a subject in school. So, aisa nahi hai ki alag se, you know, like, uthaya, like, you know, like a hobby I picked up and like pursued. Came to me as a subject in ninth grade in school.
Yeah.
Continued till first year of degree college. So, and yeah, so that is one. Other choices. This is a choice and something that I've been conflicted about, but I'll still put it out there. You know, putting my work in front of people.
Yeah.
A bit earlier than I did. So I started my page in, to be very precise, on 25th December, 6 years ago.
Oh.
And
something might have happened on that day.
How
do you remember?
I remember it was my grandmom's birthday. It's my nani's birthday on 25th December.
Christmas,
yes. Christmas has always had more importance. I mean, I've celebrated Christmas here because it's like, you know, it's like yahan ka Diwali. So back in India, like, you know, I never was fortunate enough to have utne Christian friends to be able to, like, you know, celebrate, to understand the meaning of the festival, to rejoice it. So for me, it's just like, nani's birthday. There's nothing else that was special on that day apart from this fact. And I was like, people make New Year's resolutions. So I remember thinking, I'm like, why not make a year-end resolution? So, put it out in the world. So,
So how do you, like, measure the metric that you, how do you come across this, that I put it out earlier than I should have? Like, how can you say that?
Oh, that always comes in retrospect. So, like, when a few years have passed, and then when you see your own, I mean, I am very thankful about the fact that I have been able to see my own growth on that page. Yeah. Of course, others near and dear ones have seen it too, but khud bhi dekha hai. And, like, you know, the kind of things I used to write about in the beginning, first year, then second year aaya, then I started dabbling into different forms of, like, you know, short prose, different styles of poetry, using the tools of, like, social media in itself. Like, I got introduced to Canva by a very good friend. So the creation process in itself.
Yeah.
So when I say this, I'm saying it ki अभी मुझे रियलाइज हो रहा है दैट बार नॉट दैट आई वुड लाइक टू गो बैक एंड चेंज इट मे बी दिस वाज फॉर द बेटर एंड दैट्स व्हाई इन द वेरी बिगिनिंग ऑफ दिस क्वेश्चन आई सेड आई हैव ऑलवेज बीन कॉन्फ्लिक्टेड अबाउट दिस
या दैट्स इंटरेस्टिंग बिकॉज़ आई मोस्ट पीपल आर लाइक आई विश आई हैड स्टार्टेड दिस अर्लियर
आई अंडरस्टैंड दैट बट देन सी यू हैव टू टेक इट एज इट केम टू यू राइट So just be grateful that you actually did it instead of never doing it. So better late than never.
That's true. This was a really interesting conversation. Like, last question, like, what piece of advice do you have for any people listening to this right now?
Advice. Such a heavy word. Advice.
Yeah. Searching for synonyms.
Sorry?
We should search for synonyms.
Yeah, synonyms and something which is not itna grown-up sounding, no?
Yeah.
Like advice, like, you know, this is like something like older people give to, like, kids, choto-choto kids.
Yeah.
I would like to say that don't be open or don't. Be open to whatever life puts on your plate. You know, sometimes you think that this is not what you want, but maybe that is what you need. So, and if you, I mean, I know, like, you know, if you're put across a situation that you wouldn't want to be in, it'll leave you frustrated, you know, disoriented, unhappy. But then the best thing life can sometimes do for you is give you unexpected surprises in terms of people and opportunities. Never not taken.
That's really interesting. Like, now we'll move to rapid fire. I'll be asking you 9 questions. You have to answer each question in less than 10 seconds.
Okay? What?
Yeah, that is
fine. I need 10 seconds to think.
Okay, no problem. As fast as you can.
Yes.
Choose one, economics or poetry?
Poetry.
Your all-time favorite book?
Thousand Splendid Suns, Shantaram. And All About Love.
Okay. The most contradictory thing you've done and come across to date?
I've always thought that being vulnerable ever since childhood, I've always had this self-doubt and this thing about being vulnerable, and I've always thought that its synonym is to be weak. To be vulnerable is to be weak.
Mm-hmm.
But as and when I have, like, you know, had the opportunity to, like, talk to more and more people and go through more and more experiences,
yeah,
I've realized that it's actually an asset. Not everyone can do it. So it doesn't mean that you're weak. It just means that you are way more sensitive than others around you, and you are actually very brave to put your emotions on your sleeve and walk around.
Interesting. Writing or speaking?
Writing.
A song that reminds you of yourself?
Kinare from Queen.
Oh, nice. How do you take, like, breaks from internet?
Breaks from... I actually have this habit of putting off the internet when I'm watching something or reading something. So that's like a natural break, which I, you know, use with the means of an end. Like, I'm doing something, so I switch off the internet. Also, when I am out with friends, family, someone very close to me, people around me will know that, okay, I will always pick up calls, but my internet, my data will be switched off for that entire period.
Interesting. Why do you think you write?
Why do I think? To be able to breathe, to be able to live with all these thoughts that go on in my head with no other means to escape but by putting words on a blank word document.
That's the, like, most insightful answer I ever come across to date. Describe yourself in 3 words.
Oh my gosh. Bibliophile, travel enthusiast, trying to be spontaneous.
Nice. The coolest thing about studying economics.
Sorry?
The coolest thing about studying economics.
Coolest thing? Oh, you understand so many concepts that you read about in newspapers. It's like suddenly, boom, you understand the statistics. It's like magic. Study that's economics and you'll understand newspaper articles. Majority.
That's a good flex.
It is a great flex. Like, I know what the GDP, I know how the GDP is calculated.
Yeah. You know how what the budget means.
Yes, I can interpret the budget. That is a very cool thing. That is insanely cool.
Thanks for being on the show, Yashika. It was really, really great talking to you. You answered all the questions really well.
Thank you, I've tried. Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks a lot for sticking till the end. Hope you had an amazing time. You can find the link to Yashika's podcast in the description below. If you enjoyed this episode, do give us a rating and subscribe on Spotify or wherever you listen. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram @millisecondsHQ for more updates. For any questions or feedback regarding the podcast, you can email me @millisecondshq@gmail.com. Stay tuned. Cheers.